Hello, everybody. Thank you for all you returning viewers and listeners. Pleasure to have you back, and welcome to all your newcomers. Thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Mike Kados. Alongside me is my co-host, Rick Molina. Rick, how you doing?
Oh, man, I'm doing great, Mike. What a weekend it was. Opening kickoff, opening weekend of the National Football League. You had a little baseball, obviously. You had a little tennis with the U.S. Open.
A little bit, yeah.
A little bit. You had a little tennis with the U.S. Open final. But we're starting where everybody's starting today, with opening weekend in the National Football League. For you and I, it was about the arrival of the Messiah himself, Zach Wilson. We'll get into that. He had a bit of a rough start. And obviously, the Jets are a young team. But we had some great games this weekend with Chiefs and Browns. That went down to the wire. Patrick Mahomes and Tyreek Hill, I mean, linking up on one play for 75 yards for a touchdown. Yeah, it definitely was on the fantasy side. We had the Arizona Cardinals and a man by the name of Chandler Jones causing nightmares for Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah.
And getting them off to a good start over there. You had the Buffalo Bills who were up. What was the score there? What was it, like 20? Was it 20-0, I think it was, or something like that?
No.
Or it was 13-0 or whatever it was. It was like 13-0.
They were up, I think, was 10.
And then the Steelers ripped off 20 points in a row or something like that and just stunned the Bills in Orchard Park. I mean, so you just had some great – it was just a great day of football, great performances. Obviously, the stunner of the day, Aaron Rodgers and the Saints, completely not showing up, were completely embarrassed. Jameis Winston just throwing touchdowns all over the place. I mean, every time you went back to the red zone, it was the Saints in the red zone and Winston throwing another touchdown. It was an incredible performance. And all over the league, it was just great. Trevor Lawrence, obviously, we're down there with Jacksonville. They're going to have a long season. The Niners and the Lions. Niners are up, 41 to 10?
It was 38 to 10 at one point.
Yeah, and then the Lions make this incredible run, making it close there. So it was just a great weekend of football, beginning to end, from 9 o'clock when the pregame started till like 11 o'clock when the Bears and the Rams, Stafford throwing rockets all over the place. Got to get into that in a little bit. It was just a great weekend in general. I mean, it was a great day of football, and we got another 16 more to go, man, and I can't wait.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, 16 more games, 17 more weeks.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm, 17 more weeks. Oh, we didn't get into the Giants, and they're just boring. I mean, you can't watch that.
No, Daniel
Jones and his fumbling problems again. I mean, it's just terrible. But all in all, it was a great weekend football to watch. It was just incredible. It was awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I think we have plenty to talk about with football. So I think, you know, real quick, I want to touch on what we had going on. Me, you know, especially, you know, really the beginning of this, you know, our, you know, friendship and whatever. You're a Yankee fan.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a Mets fan. And we went head to head this weekend. Subway Series, always a good time. But this past weekend was a different type of Subway Series. You know, it was the 20th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks. Yep. And I thought Major League Baseball did a good job in commemorating. And obviously, you know, everywhere else, you know, the all the other outlets, they did a good job in honoring the people that we lost, both, you know, in the attacks, the innocent people in the attacks, and the first responders that we lost that day. I can't believe it's 20 years. I really cannot. And, you know, but we are here, and Subway Series, and it was there was a lot of fireworks in that Subway Series game. You know, it was back and forth all and this whole weekend. And unfortunately, there was some little escalated egos on Sunday night's game with Francisco Lindor hitting a couple of bombs and Stanton hitting one, and Stanton, you know, saying something, or somebody was saying something to somebody else. I don't know who started it, but Stanton stopped. Benches cleared a little bit. Nothing, you know, no punches thrown or anything like that. They were just, you know, a lot of heated moments, and Brett Gardner with the thumbs down to Lindor and Baez. But Lindor thought that the Yankees were cheating and whistling and, you know, trying to, you know, steal signs or whatever the case is. So, you know, it is what it is. And but the Mets took 2 out of 3, and Lindor 3 home runs Sunday night. But I have to say, though, ESPN, I can't Sunday Night Baseball on ESPN, I cannot listen to the announcers there. You got, I don't know who it is. Who is it that's not A-Rod? Who's the guy that's
not sure? I don't really.
He said that Lindor's contract is 100% validated for the 3-home run night that he just had. Like,
listen, some people say some wacky stuff on.
I'm like, come on, like, come on. I don't understand how that's even. I guess that's for just for effect. I guess, but I guess let's touch on that a little, and then let's move on to football because there's a lot to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the Yankees lost 2 out of 3. I mean, they've been in a slide since winning 13 in a row. That was interesting. Javi Baez and Francisco Lindor, and obviously Stanton, rallying the bases. I don't know that I would want to fight that Giancarlo Stanton. What is he, like 6'5", 6'6", yeah, like 250 pounds? Yeah, that's the last guy I'd want to fight if I was Lindor. But, look, they're looking to take everybody on. The Yankees, I think, if I'm not mistaken, are they a game out, game back?
The Yankees? I haven't checked the Yankees.
I haven't checked it, but, look, they have – we got a ways to go here before the end of the season. So, as of right now,
the Blue Jays are ahead of the Yankees.
Yeah, they're ahead by a game. The Yankees have 18 games left. The Blue Jays are, and so do the Blue Jays. So, look, that was a series that the Yankees needed to win. They got some games coming up with the Orioles. They need to win those, and hopefully, the Blue Jays fall back, and then we'll just see where we are in a couple of weeks. But right now, the Yankees need their they're pitching to sort of carry the way, and they need the bats to wake up. Judge is waking up. They moved Torres from short to second, and let's just see. It should be a fun 2 weeks with the Yankees and the Mets. But I think the Mets are out of it, right?
They're not out of it per se, but it's a steep mountain.
They're 3.5 back in the wild card.
It's a steep mountain to climb. Let's just say that they got a little bit of embarrassed, last night. Wainwright doing what Wainwright does against the Mets. It just seems to always be the case with Wainwright over there. He's a thorn in the Mets side ever since that
curveball,
that NLCS. I mean, we can't figure that guy out, and rather frustrating being a Mets fan when you have to go up against Wainwright, but. Hey, it is what it is. We're in mid-September now, so a few more weeks. Anything could happen, it's September, and that's just the way it is and how it goes in the world of, sports and mostly in baseball with all the games that get played between now and that first weekend in October. Mm-hmm. So, the Mets had a 7-game lead. At the beginning of September in 2007, nobody thought they would lose it. And, sure enough, they did. So anything could happen,
Yeah.
The Yankees just lost two of the last 10, and the Blue Jays won 9 of their last 10. Yeah. So just swings like that are going to be, speaking of swings in the Blue Jays, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., home run leader right now with 45. I don't know if anything happened today, but I know as of last night he had 45 and was leading the MLB. So congratulations to him. And it's fun little race there. I mean, it's funny that we have a pitcher in that in the running there.
Starling Marte, yeah.
Oh, is it Starling Marte now?
For batting leaders, for home runs, Guerrero, Otani has 44, Salvador Perez with 42.
Yeah, that's a little surprising, right? Mm. Salvador Perez,
that came out of nowhere. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, a pitcher and a catcher in the top three in home runs. I mean, that's
it's interesting. Hey, that's baseball these days, man. Everybody's hitting bombs out. Yeah,
that is baseball these days, and let's see how the rest of the rest of these weeks pan out. But yeah, Sunday. Well, I guess we start because we signed off on Tuesday. So Derek Jeter officially got inducted into the Hall of Fame on Wednesday, and had a great speech and honestly a couple of great speeches. Ted Simmons, I was blown away by that guy's speech. Like, and he's got like a perfect speaking voice. Like, it's unbelievable. Like, everything that he was saying, it was great. The president of the Players Union was inducted.
Marvin Miller. Yep.
Yes, Marvin Miller. It's amazing, the things that he did that stand tall to this day that completely changed the game of baseball. So
the agency and all that, yeah.
Yeah, free agency. I mean, that's huge. And then Larry Walker, second Canadian-born player in the Hall of Fame. So congratulations to him. And then obviously the captain and his family on hand over there. And I didn't realize that that little kid that tips his cap in the last game was his nephew.
He grew up.
I thought it was just like a kid. But now, watching it again, you see his parents are right there, and you know his whole family is right there. But I didn't notice it, you know, in real time back then. So that was fun to see. I guess you could, you know, kick us off with your thoughts on Tampa Bay, Dallas.
That was a great game, man, to kick it off last Thursday. Watching that thing go back and forth, it was like a heavyweight fight. And I was just – what surprised me was the way Dak played, man. Coming off that broken ankle, I didn't think he was going to light it up. I didn't think the Cowboy offense was going to come out like that. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, man, they went toe-to-toe. You know, CeeDee Lamb, Amari Cooper. They didn't use a lot of – it would surprise me, man. I mean, I wish they would have used – they could have used him a little more. But listen, I mean, if you're going to get that kind of performance from the Dallas offense for the next 16, 17 weeks, they're going to the playoffs. And if Dak's going to keep playing like that, he's winning comeback player of the year for sure. For sure, he's winning comeback player of the year. And Dallas has a chance to win the NFC East. The Giants are terrible. We'll get to them in a minute, but they're just boring and awful. But we'll save that for a little bit. But Dallas right now, you have the Eagles with Jalen Hurts over there and Devontae Smith. Remember, we were thinking Devontae Smith, the number two, is coming to the Jets, caught his first touchdown, you know, on Sunday. And then, you know, what happened with Ryan Fitzpatrick, you know, him with his hip dislocation or whatever that is. It's going to be
on FedEx Field.
On FedEx. Again, another quarterback who gets crippled on FedEx Field. It's amazing that place, they really need to look at the field. But
yeah, I mean, it's just bad juju. I mean, maybe it was the name for a while. I don't know. I mean,
I don't know. But I mean, a hip dysplasia or whatever that is. I mean, it's crazy.
They might need more than a new name.
That NFC East is coming down to two teams. It's going to be the Cowboys and the Eagles. And the question is, can the Cowboys just, you know, play good defense, not go, you know, and Mike McCarthy not screw it up and just do good things and carry him home to the playoffs? Because if you look at it right now, the Dallas Cowboys are going to the playoffs, either a wild card or the NFC East. But I thought that was just great. And Brady's Brady. I mean, think about what Brady did. He had a minute left in that. He had a minute
128 or something.
Whatever it was. Whatever. And the guy was like, all right, that's all I need. That's all he needed to move the ball down the field to get him to score. It's incredible what he does. And I don't know if you saw a lot of the commentary during the week after that game about the way he throws the ball. And it's true what the people are saying, whether it was Colin Cowherd, whether it was like, you know, on ESPN's First Take and all that. His mechanics have gotten better, man. Like, he's more accurate with the ball. It's like he said,
release time.
Yeah.
I
don't know what he's worked on. Like, obviously, his mechanics or whatever, or what he does in the offseason, but it's just his throwing is flawless. I mean, flawless. And for them to give him a minute left, I mean, that was just insane. And then look, he does what he does, man. That's Brady. But that
look
was
at you fanboying over Brady. No, but I mean, but the guy is, he's like an ageless wonder.
I
mean, the guy's playing some of the best football of his life, and he's 44 years old.
Yeah, and you know, where did it start, right? It started a few years ago with the TB12. He decided to give up all the shit food. Excuse my language. He's gone plant-based, plyo, whatever. And he's done things, and I think that's clearly helped him extend his career another, you know, 2 to 3 years. Might play another year. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen, but it's incredible, man. I mean, the guy, you know, I hated Brady for all those years. You know, we're Jet fans. Just the way he throws the ball, man, the way he moves up and down the field, it's incredible. It's incredible to watch.
Yeah, I mean, 100% agree. And, I mean, he had a couple of bombs, you know, and it was just like
– Antonio Brown. Like
with E. Antonio Brown. I'm calling it right now. I mean, I should have called it beforehand because now I'm a little late with it. But
yeah,
Antonio Brown will end up being the best receiver on that squad by the end of the year. I think that him and Brady have, you know, a nice rapport. Aside from Gronk, I mean, Gronk catching his 100th touchdown with Brady, you know, the tandem of Brady Gronk, he caught his 99th and 100th touchdown. on Thursday night. So, you know, that's an incredible feat. And it's just amazing, you know, all these accolades that Brady, you know, puts up. And, you know, with and without other people. So it's like, you know, how many records are going to be left?
Not many, man. Not with the extra game next to them. And you have the extra game. I mean, somebody's going to throw for 6,000 yards. I mean, it's going to happen. I mean, it's just crazy. The other game I wanted to talk about, and I know we'll get to the Jets in a minute. I'll talk about them aside.
I guess since we're talking about this old quarterback who looks like he's playing the best football of his life, let's go to the guy that looks older than this guy.
Oh, you saw that NFL memes thing.
And talk about how he looks like he's playing. So you want to talk about that?
Aaron Rodgers, and you saw the NFL memes. He looked...
I mean, how many of them?
It was crazy. But he looked completely disinterested. That team looked completely lifeless, unprepared. Like, they just didn't want to be on the field. I don't know what's going on over there with him, you know? And it just seems to me like he's not all in. But give credit to the Saints, man. Give credit to Jameis Winston. Here's a guy
who's been criticized.
Yeah. He always throws 30 interceptions a year. He can't play. That kid showed up and just lightened it up all over the field. I mean, what do you have, four or five touchdowns? How many touchdowns?
Five.
Dude, five touchdowns.
Was it five?
I think
it was five. I think it was five, but it was only like 148 yards or something like that.
Yeah, because they were always in the red zone. They were always
because it was all Kamara getting them, and then he just dumped them to his tight end and dumped them to this other guy. Can't remember the other guy's name, but he caught two. Yeah. Two people caught two each, and then another guy catching, you know, a bomb and the longest one of the day. And, you know, no picks, right? No picks.
No picks. That's the thing. He didn't turn the ball. No picks.
And you got Aaron Rodgers on the other side, and the Saints picked Florida to play in Jacksonville over Texas because they said that the Packers don't play historically well in Florida.
Right.
I'm like, well, Jameis Winston doesn't play historically well in Florida either. But that changed in a heartbeat.
I mean,
come on. Obviously, you know, you got the coaching. You have you have one of the best running backs in the game, which Jameis Winston did not have ever.
Jameis Winston, Mike, was – in this game, I'll tell you, give the stat sheet. He was 14 for 20. He was 14.
What was his QB rating?
I'll tell you right now what his QBR rating was. His QBR rating was his rating is, I'll tell you right now, his rating is, where is he?
130.8. 130.8. It's unbelievable. And then you have Rodgers on the other side, where if you throw the ball in the dirt 10 times, you get like a 38, and he got a 32. So, you know, that was another one of the memes. So I don't know how true that stat is, but it was a pretty abysmal showing. And yes, in three pass attempts, he had two interceptions, five all of last year.
Yeah.
And the guy is sitting there grinning on the sidelines. And, you know, a lot of the memes comparing him and the dude from The Longest Yard. What's his face?
Oh, Bobby Boucher? No,
The Longest Yard. The one that throws the game. I can't remember the character's name. But
I haven't seen the movie, Mike.
But that one you definitely have to watch. That's funny. Right. That's a funny one. That's Sandler. But obviously that's a remake. But
right.
I haven't watched the original. I just
The original, I think, is with Burt Reynolds, right?
Which, actually, bringing up Adam Sandler, I want an honorable mention to Norm MacDonald, passed away today.
Oh yeah,
from a long private battle with cancer.
Yeah.
Great, you know, great comedian. You know, very funny. I mean, he made Weekend Update, which is still running. He put that on the map, and it's still running today. And he's done, you know, amazing things in the world of comedy. And you know, the comedy world lost a really good one today. Yeah. So thoughts and prayers to his friends and family. So, yeah, but yeah, it's just Aaron Rodgers was just he was throwing it. I mean, it's hard to say, you know, with 100% certainty. Mm-hmm. And is he going to do a little rope-a-dope and he's going to just like light up Detroit next Monday night? I mean,
I don't know.
You know, I mean, it was just it was an abysmal showing. Nobody saw 38-3. I mean, we both picked the Packers.
Yeah, I mean, they were the just mauled easily. I mean, they mauled them, man.
But
they robbed them. Jameis Winston.
Let's just talk about Jameis Winston. Like, that's going to be a fun division. And even Drew Brees said, "I guess this is what the Saints were missing."
I guess it was, man.
But I mean, he's not wrong.
It's not, and look, the problem with Jameis is obviously he's always been reckless with the football. I mean, throwing, he can throw
LASIK.
Yeah, everybody's seen the LASIK. He's thrown for 30. He's thrown for 30 touchdowns, but he's also thrown for 30 interceptions in a year. You just cannot turn the ball over like that. And I think with a coach like Sean Payton, he'll have him under control. He'll be like, "This is what you can and what you can't do," and teach him the proper way to play the position. But for week one, man, that's a great start. The other quarterback who was on fire was Russell Wilson, man, against the Colts on the road in a hostile environment with the Colts that have a legitimate team. And he walked in there and just was just him and Tyler Lockett. I mean, just incredible performance. I mean, he threw. I mean, his stats. He was 18-23. 254 yards passing, and he had he had four touchdowns. I mean, incredible. I mean, these performances, but he was just like, right. I mean, he put himself up there for the MVP already. He had a passer rating of 152. I mean, this guy just keeps doing it every year. I don't know. Eventually, he's got to win the MVP one year. I don't know if it's going to be this year because I think the consensus pick is Josh Allen. But him going on the road, winning that game
is in Indianapolis. I mean, I know it's only 1 week.
It's one game. But let's not go crazy. It's not overreact. This is overreact Monday. Everybody's been overreacting. Let's just take it.
I know it's only 1 week, but you know that I don't think Jameis Winston's going to end up being the. That one was a pretty hefty one, right?
That was a hefty one, man.
Yeah.
I didn't see that one. I'm telling you.
Comeback player though.
Comeback player of the year.
Comeback player for Jameis Winston.
But no. If Dak has the season that I think he's going to have, Dak Prescott. I mean, look, he's got Michael Gallup on the IR, but he's got CeeDee Lamb on that team. He's got Zeke Elliott on that team. He has
Amari
Cooper. Look, man, he should be throwing for 5,000 yards this year, easy. I mean, he should be throwing 5,000 yards.
I mean, but, if their defense is going to get gashed like they were getting gashed.
Well, remember, they're playing. They're playing.
Okay. All right. No.
The Buccaneers. You know,
okay. All right. But they play the Chargers this week.
Yeah. In Los Angeles. That's going to be a great game.
I definitely want to touch on my boy.
We'll talk about your boy in a minute. I want to get to the young quarterbacks because we had five of them playing. Obviously, Justin Fields only saw a couple of snaps. I think Trey Lance as well. I think he saw a couple of snaps too. But obviously, touchdown. The three I want to get into. We'll start first in Jacksonville with our boy Trevor Lawrence against Houston, who surprised us. I think we both picked Jack. Did we pick Jacksonville?
We did.
And Houston came out, and you saw. I think a couple of things there. One, you saw obviously a rookie quarterback threw three picks. Got to be a little worried about that. He missed some throws. A little worried about that. But it was his first game. But I think what you saw is a difference between Urban Meyer, the college coach. And David Culley, a professional coach, you know, an NFL coach. I mean, that team was just prepared in a different way. And it just played out like that. But Trevor Lawrence's performance on Sunday, if I'm the Jacksonville Jaguars, I'm gonna say it now. I know it's one game, but like, did they make a mistake not taking Zach Wilson? Because, you know, I don't know that Trevor Lawrence, maybe from what I saw on Red Zone, but I don't know that he's gonna lead him to that promised land. They have a lot of work to do on that team, and I'm starting to have my doubts. I don't know if you heard the rumors today. Somebody was saying Urban Meyer to SC after the season. I mean, if they go 2-15, is Urban Meyer going to be able to take 2 or 3 years of rebuilding this thing to stick around? I don't know. We'll wait and see. But as of right now, look, you know, Trevor Lawrence, he made some great throws. What did he throw? I think he threw three touchdowns, right?
Definitely two. I'm not sure.
He threw three touchdowns and three picks. He had a passer. He has a rating of 70.1. I mean, he did throw for 332 yards, but man, they got a lot of work to do down there. And give credit to Houston, man. They came out, they were prepared, and they played well, and they won. So good kudos to them.
Unbelievable. I mean, Tyrod Taylor. He's gotten
Yeah.
He got his opportunity. He's got his opportunity to, you know, to go out there and shine and, you know, take control. And mm-hmm. a couple of the running backs over there, you know, making some plays. Ingram, Lindsay, you know, and yeah. David Johnson, I believe, scored one, right? David Johnson mm-hmm. scored? And Lindsay? Yeah. And Ingram, I mean. Which I do have to say, I want to touch on this because, you know, Ingram's running one in, and I'm like, these numbers are so, like,
right,
distracting because, like, I'm not used to it. But I know after a couple of games in this season, like, yeah. I'll get used to it. And I definitely want to touch on, you know, what Peyton Manning was saying last night and what Tom Brady's been saying about it. But because we definitely got to talk about that Monday Night Football game. But let's just
finish off
with Sunday. But yeah, these numbers are, you know, it's just crazy. Like you know, Sterling Shepard is, you know, catching bombs as number three, you know, and he was what, number 87? 87
yeah.
last year.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Yeah, I didn't like that.
All of a sudden, like this guy, you know, this guy's number three. And I'm like, what's going on here?
And we'll get to the other quarterback, Zach Wilson. Let's get into Zach a little bit.
Yeah.
And I forgot who they played. Jesus, I watched the whole game.
Panthers.
What the Panthers did, their linebackers an hour before the game, they changed their numbers from like in the 50s to 7-4. I mean, there needs to be a rule in there to stop that. But be that as it may, want to get into the Jets. Jets started, everybody, there was hope. There was promise, the new season, great. And the first 2.5 quarters of that game, they were completely overrun, man. It was first time jitters, rookie jitters, drop passes. The O-line couldn't block anybody. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just like a revolving door, dude. I'm like, who's next? Who's going to hit Zach next? They couldn't get anything. They had a big play in the first half. Elijah Moore has to make that catch. He was interfered with and didn't get that call. And then in the middle of the third quarter, Zach started finding his rhythm. Started settling down, started making the throws, and you saw the arm talent, and you saw the talent, dude. He was hitting Corey Davis.
Oh, yeah.
He hit Elijah Moore pass. And then when they have a momentum on the drive, he rolls out on the run, hits Corey Davis in the end zone, and right there, it's like the man's arrived. And then he just sort of settled in and played Zach Wilson football, throwing the ball. I mean, honestly, if they – other than the Robbie Anderson play, the Jets were in that game. Like, they could have won the mm-hmm. game. You know,
they could have. Was it a 5-point spread?
Yeah, it was fine. It was a five and a half point.
I thought it was five, and I said push.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure it's a push on that one.
But listen, Zach is the real deal. There is no doubting that now. The guy's the real deal. He can throw the ball on the move. He can make those plays. I think everybody's overreacting to the Jets. I think it was just first week jitters, people playing together. Mike Mekhi Becton gets hurt.
Yeah,
dislocates his kneecap.
Yep,
LaMarcus Joyner, I think, tore his tricep. So they got some issues. They're gonna need some bodies. But I'm looking forward to seeing this game against New England at home at MetLife. I think they're gonna play a lot better, and I think Zach Wilson's gonna have a big performance. I think he's really, really gonna play well against Mac Jones this weekend.
Yeah, well, I mean, he finished with an 82.9 rating, 2 touchdowns, yeah. 1 interception, 258 yeah. passing. This guy's name is Zachary Capone Wilson.
A.K.A. Zachariah the Messiah.
Yeah, I know. But Capone, that's nice.
He's got a little gangster in him. That's why. Got a little gangster in him.
Yeah.
You understand?
What would you think?
You saw the game.
You know, I thought, all right, let's put it this way. You got Aaron Rodgers, and you got Zach Wilson, and Zach Wilson far exceeded what the reigning MVP did. You know, yeah. So to do that on your first, and granted, Rodgers could be throwing the season, whatever, but to see that in the first game, even with this number, the number gate,
yeah, that's
even with number gate.
They need to okay. stop that.
Yeah. I don't know how – is it like they have to announce it like right before the first game of the season? Because mm-hmm. then, all right, you get that one-game edge. I mean, you can't just like flip-flop numbers every game, can you?
I think you can. I don't know if the players are a little ridiculous. I don't know if the players are going to want to do that, though. I mean, come on. I mean,
that's a little ridiculous if that's the case. So they have to definitely stop that right away. But I just don't see how that would be legal.
Yeah. No, but whatever it was, I mean, I don't know.
The fact of the matter is, like, it was his first game, all right?
Yeah,
it's his first game, yeah. And I thought, you know, let's remember, this is a team that wasn't worth a goddamn, you know, was worth absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
You know, last year. They couldn't get out of their own way.
Yeah.
And we played the Panthers, who has Christian McCaffrey. The guy had 150 all-purpose yards or whatever.
Yeah, he was at 200 yards.
I mean, McCaffrey is just a beast, and he just, you know, controls the clock. And they only lost by 5 in their house.
Yep.
With the pretty scary-ass looking Panther in the mixed reality.
Oh, I don't know what that was all about.
But that's it. That was cool, though. That was cool. But the fact of the matter is, we went into their house, and we lost. But we lost. We had a rookie playing, and he still threw 2 touchdowns, 1 interception, you know, 258. I really think that's a solid debut.
Yeah. The first half, it was rookie jitters. I think him, Elijah Moore, Michael Carter. Yeah. I think a lot of the guys were like,
Elijah Moore got to get a little bit more involved.
Elijah Moore, they got to get Elijah Moore a little more involved. Denzel Mims, I don't know what's going on over there. Michael Floor? Yeah. Robert Saleh, Joe D, you guys over there on the offensive side of the ball. I don't know if you're aware of this or not. Let me remind you. Denzel Mims is 6'5" or 4, whatever he is. Guy runs a 4.3. How about we use him? How about we use him to take the top off of defense? Get him in there. I don't know what this thing is about. He has to know every route tree and he has to know every position. Hey, man, the guy can ball out. He can play. Get him in there and play. We need players. Guys are getting injured. Jeff Smith or Vincent Smith, I don't know who, one of the guys is ahead of him in the depth chart. Come on, man. Like, what's going on over there? And secondly, we have 4 running backs on the roster. Michael Carter, Tevin Coleman, Ty Johnson, Josh Adams. I think they're all suited up or whatever it is. Can we start using them more, please? Good. I mean, come on, man. You got to take the pressure off Zach a little bit. You got to run the ball. And thirdly, to the offensive line of the Jets, guys, AVT, I'm going to let it pass. But Kai got hurt, but George Fant, you were getting killed. Morgan Moses, you were signed. Okay. All right. This week, enough's enough. Protect Zach. Start getting a little nasty. And let's start running the ball here. That's all I have to say. And I think our fortunes will change. But somebody, again, send the email out, memo alert to the Jets off coaches on the offensive side of the ball. You have a 6'3", 215-pound guy who can run a 4.3 40. Let's use him.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, and you're right on the running back thing. Like, you have to
even use him.
You have to take the pressure off of, you know, of Zach Wilson. You gotta get that running game going, and
he's gonna get killed.
You know, let's talk about his counterpart that's gonna be playing next week. And it's
Mac Jones,
and he 281, 1 touchdown, 0 interceptions. I think he fumbled though, right? Did he fumble?
I think he had a fumble.
But you know, he had the help of his running backs. I mean, Damian Harris, 100 yards, you know, James, you know, no, it's really, it was just the Damian Harris show. But yeah, I mean, you know, he threw a touchdown to Aguilar, who balled out a little bit. James White, you know, helped him out in the passing game.
Yeah. Ramondre Stevenson didn't play much.
Both
right?
of his tight ends here, you know, Myers, you know, balled out a little bit. So, you know, they got more weapons.
Yeah,
and Mac Jones still only threw for 1 touchdown.
Yeah,
at home. So, like, you know, yeah, he didn't throw an interception, but you know who had the better, who had the better game? You got to ask yourself.
I by far the best performance of the weekend of all the rookies was Zach Wilson. No, case closed. I don't want to hear about Trevor Lawrence. I don't want to hear about Mac Jones, Justin Fields.
Well, if we're talking about quarterbacks.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, because the best rookie performance was Ja'Marr Chase.
Oh, yeah. I mean, in Cincinnati, let's get into that, man. I mean, Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase. I remember people saying, why are you drafting Ja'Marr Chase? They need to protect Joe Burrow. Cincinnati said, no, we're taking Ja'Marr Chase. Then Ja'Marr Chase shows up. He's dropping the ball everywhere. Can't catch the ball. And he just balls out, man. I mean, it's funny. These overreactions to the preseasons are crazy, but – I mean, Cincinnati's got something moving, going over there, man. They got something cooking over there. you know, they got some offensive weapons. They're starting to get a little momentum. They're doing well. But, yeah, Ja'Marr Chase has had himself a game. I mean, the guy was catching everything they threw to him. He caught.
He balled out. I mean, yeah. That's just – and Devonta Smith catching one last week, yeah. Too. Mm-hmm. You know, it was
– the Eagles it was annihilated.
It was a pretty nice, you know, rookie showing.
Yeah. I mean, Ja'Marr Chase was 5 receptions, 101 yards, and a touchdown. Devonta Smith – six receptions, 71 yards, and a touchdown. I mean, you know?
Yeah, I mean, the Bengals-Vikings game, I mean, what did we – I think I ended up picking the Vikings in that one, right? And I think you went with the Bengals?
I don't remember.
The Bengals ended up, you know, coming out on top, you know, with the overtime. I mean, nobody saw that.
No.
Minnesota ended up, you know, went with, you know, 10 in the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. To pull it even. So that was, you know, that was something. Actually, no, they took the lead, and then was it the Bengals that tied it at the end?
I believe so, yeah.
The Vikings that tied it.
No, I think the Bengals tied it.
Okay. But no, it's, I mean, Kirk Cousins, you know, he bowled. You know,
he's, I'm over Kirk Cousins. That guy.
Dalvin Cook, you know, not the best. Dalvin Cook game.
It's gonna be a long season for the Vikings.
You know, Adam Thielen. This is this KJ Osborne a rookie? Because he balled out too.
Yeah,
and I haven't heard his name before. I don't know if he was a rookie or not.
Yeah, the other local team we'll get into, and I don't know how much time we're gonna spend on this, but the Giants. I mean, talk about a deflating performance. First of all, it's just like it's a tough watch, man. It really is. I know he's coming off an injury, but Saquon Barkley, like, you need to run between the tackles, man. Like, they said you were a yellow jacket.
I don't think they wanted him.
I know, but they said he's a yellow jacket running back, right? He's a Hall of Famer, future Hall of Famer. You got to start performing like one, man. I mean, I know you're coming off an injury, but you gotta give more than what they gave on Sunday. Daniel Jones, how many times do we have to remind you, dude, do not turn the ball over? He made some throws. Like some sick throws. And then he does what Daniel Jones does. He fumbles the ball, turns it over.
Yeah, he's not the answer.
I'm with you on that. I don't think he is.
He is not the answer. And I mean, they said at one point in the game it was his 40th turnover in 28 starts. I mean, geez, right? Those aren't good numbers.
What do you say to that, man?
I mean, granted, you know, we were just talking about Jameis Winston, how he threw 30 in a season, you know, so, you know, he's gotten 30 something plus turnovers in 16 games. So like, those aren't good numbers either, but the guy still balls out and throws those touchdowns. But Daniel Jones is just, and even a couple of the times where he was trying to run for it and still can't get out of his own way when he's running sometimes.
Right.
Like, I don't know. I feel like he butt fumbles himself. Literally. When there's nobody there, like he just like hits a wall out of nowhere.
Literally.
But Bridgewater, impressive.
Teddy Bridgewater, on the other side. Very impressive. Teddy
impressive on the other side. Judy was balling out until.
Yeah.
I mean, he's on my fantasy team, so nope. I'm a little bummed out on that one because number one, the NFL loses a great receiver for the next 6 to 8 weeks. But he was doing really well. Melvin Gordon played pretty well too.
Yeah, he had 101 yards and a touchdown.
You know, he had that long run. I mean, granted, you know, 70 of it was one run.
Yeah.
But still, you know, it is what it is. But that Judy was a tough break. But Bridgewater was doing his thing.
Yeah, man. They called him check down Teddy. He wasn't checking down, man. He was throwing it all over the field and by the way, give props to Sterling Shepard. He had 7 receptions, 113 yards, and a touchdown. He played well. He played real well. But,
Shepard definitely balled out.
I got to be honest with you. The Giants had a lot of problems, man. I mean, they can't – I don't know if you saw that one NFL meme where they were, like, blocking each other, like the guard and the tackle for the Giants were blocking each other. I mean, man, look, if the Giants – I mean, if you look at the Giants' schedule real quick, I mean, next week they got – let me just see here real quick. Let me see what they got for week. What do we got for week two? Week two. Oh, crap. Hold on one second. Come on. Right now, the Giants.
What are you trying to look for?
I just want to see.
Giants are playing? They play Thursday night against Washington.
Against Washington.
Yeah.
The Washington football team that's starting Taylor Heineken or Heineke, whatever his name is.
Heineke, yeah.
Heineke. If the Giants don't win this game, Mike, they're in trouble. At 0-2, they're in trouble.
It's at Washington.
They're in trouble.
And but Washington's got a sick defense. And Heineke's not bad, man.
Exactly. But he's not Ryan bad. Fitzpatrick just got hurt, right? You're the New York Giants. You go in there and you win this game. If you don't win this game, they're in deep trouble.
I don't think they're winning this game. I think Washington's going to win this game.
Well, we'll see. But the Giants better show up, because if not this season, Taylor, I'm calling it now. Giants go 1-2, it's over.
I didn't see anything that showed. They went up against a good defense this past week. And I think Washington's defense is better than Denver's defense. And Washington will be at home.
Yeah.
In FedEx Field, that's just the bad juju. Yeah, the bad juju central.
So what you're saying is that there will be a
broken leg. Boy, am I glad Justin Herbert is got out of that one.
Yeah.
He's done there. I'm glad. But obviously Ryan Fitzpatrick, that's horrible.
Yeah,
we're up against the clock.
Yeah, so let's touch real quick on the Manning brothers. I think ESPN's gonna have a problem here, because nobody's gonna want to tune in to watch this game on the regular channel and watch. They're just gonna watch Peyton and Eli all week.
Hey, listen, they've had a problem. Nobody wanted to, people would watch it with it muted, and you know, I mean, it's just the way it is. But I watched the whole game.
Yeah.
On this Manning, the Manning Bowl or whatever you want to, you know, the Manning channel. And they had special guests. They had Charles Barkley, Ray Lewis, Travis Kelce, and Russell Wilson, you know. So, you know, those last two are pretty big names and current players, you know. I mean, it's just something a lot of people out there saying is a glorified Twitch stream, whatever the case is. But you know what? I just – it's a different perspective for watching a game. Like, you're looking into the eyes of Peyton Manning and Eli Manning, who have done this and won Super Bowls doing this, yeah, and saying, mm-hmm, you know, the quarterback should not have thrown it there. I mean, right, granted, they're seeing the bird's eye view. And when, mm-hmm, you're in it, you know, and they know it, and they mentioned it. But,
yeah,
but it's just – it's fascinating to hear it from their perspective. And you got Kelce putting in his two cents as well. And he's in the middle of a season. So it's like, you know, he's putting in his, like, you know, his thought process. And I wonder if, like, Bill Belichick's going to end up, like, exploiting that somehow. I mean, yeah,
I think they all know. They all know what's going on. They all
know. But it was funny, though. At one point, though, Russell Wilson – you know, they were talking about his wife at the Met Gala.
Yeah.
And she was all decked out in this, like, Russell Wilson Seahawks dress, number 3, and rocking the Super Bowl ring. You got Peyton making a comment like, oh, she's wearing the ring that I wanted and I didn't get. You know, throw him back to, you know, when Russell Wilson beat him, mm-hmm, in that abysmal showing in MetLife Stadium.
I remember that Super Bowl.
The Broncos were the overall favorites, you know, just like to go out there and just destroy, and, you know, safety in the first minute of that game, or first play of that game, right? And then
Russell, game was over right there.
Russell makes a comment saying that Tom's got one that he wanted, and then he's like, it's like, Eli, you took a couple from Tom, so we're all, you know, we're all pretty even there. So it was kind of fun, that, you know, that little, you know, back and forth banter that you're not going to get at any other broadcast. I mean, let's just be real.
Yeah, no, it was great. I mean, I saw some of it. I'm not going to sit here and tell the viewers that I saw all of it. I was watching it when Peyton put that helmet on. He didn't even.
Oh, that was funny too. Yeah.
Yeah. They were talking about chicken wings and what have you. But, you know, it's just like watching Tony Romo. You get the perspective like that the average fan doesn't get to see. How, like, for example, he's talking about they call two plays in the huddle. This play doesn't work. Where the ball should go. What they're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these are perspectives that we don't see as fans. Like, we see the game in a different way. We don't see it how they see it. And these guys, you know the tendencies, know what's going on. Like, you know, when Russell Wilson and Payne, they're all talking, they know about the plays. I mean, it's just fascinating. That's what makes Tony Romo just spectacular at his job. because you see it from that quarterback view, him knowing the play, like in the fan, the fans sitting there going, man, how did he know that? Because he's played the game. And I look, after what that, and that's the talk of the morning shows, was a lot of the games, yes, but a lot of talk was watching Peyton and Eli do that. Like, people want to see more of that. Now, I think they're only doing like 10 games or whatever, but as fans, we love that. We love that type of perspective. And that's why I think if Peyton Manning wants, he would be terrific in the booth. I don't know that he wants to do it because it takes a lot of time and he's got a lot of stuff going on, but he'd be great. But I think the more fans are going to want to watch games where players, current and former, give them that kind of perspective. And if the NFL is smart, which they are, and they know how to make money, which they do, they're going to find a way to get these guys in the booth and monetize this damn thing. Because if you can get them doing different games, like in different different networks on every Sunday,
like have their own like DirecTV channel,
like their own kind of
Manning Red Zone channel,
The Manning Red Zone channel. Hey, we got this going on. That would be tremendous. Another idea.
I think you can't go overboard though. I think Monday Night Football is a nice, because Monday Night Football is a little, subpar as far as the games go. Like, I don't know. I'm not a big fan of some of the Monday Night Football games on the slate, but it was very fun to watch that. And, love the little banter back and forth and even, Peyton touching on how Lamar Jackson trained at his camp, at the Manning camp, because they train quarterbacks. And even Russell Wilson at the end, when he was signing off, he thanked them, because he went and attended their camp,
right?
And he learned from them, and so it's nice that like this full circle like movement going on where like these two great quarterbacks in Peyton and Eli, really, brought up this like this new class of, the new legends that are they're gonna come in. So it's nice that it's all coming full circle, and to see that and actually see that with your own eyes and hear them say it in like real time and whatever. So it's I think Peyton was just on fire. Like he was
into it. You could tell he was into it.
He put on the small helmet. And I love Eli. Eli asks, what does he ask? I think Ray Lewis. He says, would you want $10,000 or a Peyton Manning helmet filled with quarters? it was funny. Like, the thing is about you say Tony Romo. Yes, Tony Romo has his insight, but I feel like he's not the MC. He's not the one leading the charge in his broadcast.
Well, because it's different, right? Jim Nance is the head guy there.
Yes.
But Romo does play-by-play. But
having Peyton leading it and doing – it's just – I don't know. It's different.
It's a different way they're doing it. They're doing it in a different sort of way. Whereas, like, he's calling, second and 10 on the own 25 and what have you. And Jim Nance, and he's doing it from the booth, like from the game. Like, these guys are sitting there kind of bullshitting, but giving the fan the inside look. So, look, I think it's great. I think if they do more games, it's a good thing for the NFL. And the fans are going to enjoy it. But we're going to be up against some time here. So I wanted to get into the week two picks.
Yes. Yeah, let's do that.
For the NFL games week two. So we'll start. We got the
Giants, Redskins, and
I think the Redskins are
winning this game, but it's 3 points.
You mean the Washington football team?
I would take the I'm taking Washington, but I'm taking the money line because I don't like the push. I'm just gonna take them flat.
Look.
And the under.
I'm gonna take a chance here. This is a must-win game for the Giants. They were terrible last week on the road. Ryan Fitzpatrick got hurt. Giants need to go in there and win this game. I mean, this is a matter of fact. Just get a matter of fact. Get a win here. So I'm gonna take the Giants +3 to win this game. They got to show up. And Daniel Jones cannot turn the ball over, but I think they show up and they win this one. We'll see. Could be wrong, but I'm gonna take the Giants.
Okay. All right, we got the Raiders fresh off of an exciting win last night. That was part of the Manning show. The Raiders with the walk-off win in overtime against the Ravens with a Zay Jones touchdown to seal the deal. They are visiting the Steelers, who are fresh off a win against Buffalo. Steelers are favored by 5.5. But I think, the Raiders had the advantage of being inside the Death Star They had a lot of holes that, you know, quite honestly, they were able to exploit, you know, some of the Ravens' miscues, couple of fumbles from Lamar. The Ravens didn't look all that impressive. Steelers did. I think the Steelers are going to win this and cover.
I'm with you on that. Plus, the Raiders got to travel. You know, they just have an emotional game. They got to travel.
On a short week.
And the Steelers are just coming off that win in Buffalo. I think the Steelers go 2-0. Although 5.5,
it's a big
number, man. I'll take the Raiders plus 5.5, but I think the Steelers win this game.
The Steelers win. You mean? Yeah.
Yeah, the Steelers are gonna win, but the Raiders are covered.
You're gonna take the points. Okay.
Yeah, I'll take points. Yeah.
Yeah, we got Bengals at Bears. Spread is 3.
Wow. Goes to show
I think this is still very early spreads because they always go to 3 by default. I feel, but the Bengals were impressive. Andy Dalton just, I don't know.
I'm going to go out and live here and say Justin Fields plays in this game. He played last week, but I think he's going to eventually going to give him the
If they're giving me 3 points for the Bengals, I'm taking them. I'm taking 3 points because
I'm with you on that. I
mean, yeah. I'm Joe Mixon balled out. And let's be real. I mean, Matthew Stafford, we didn't really touch on him. Like, he's loving L.A.
Yeah.
It looks like he's loving LA right now.
At this
point in time, like he was balling out. What is it, like the second, third play from scrimmage, just, you know, a bomb for a touchdown. So, you know, I think he's got a nice supporting cast. He's got a great defense, which he's never had.
Yeah.
So, but he, you know, they balled out against the Bears that night. And I think that Joe Burrow has been playing well, and you know he looks pretty good. Joe Mixon balled out. You know, Jamar Chase is some more of the same, and I think I'm taking that. I'm definitely taking those 3 points. I like them.
All right, let's see. I'm with you. I'm going to take the Bengals in the upset here. I'm going to ride this hot hand, see how they're doing. I think Joe Burrow's the real deal.
You did not miss the Cowboys prediction, Lewis.
Yes, Lewis. We have not gotten to that game yet.
So. We haven't gotten there yet. A couple more here. The Houston Texans with a surprising win going up against the Cleveland Browns in Cleveland. It is a 12.5 point spread. Cleveland is the favorite. Cleveland was up on the Chiefs for a majority of that game last week. But Chiefs, you know, with what the Chiefs do and Tyreek Hill and 75-yard touchdowns just coming, you know, pretty easy for him.
Pitch and catch, man. That's what it was.
12.5 is a lot.
It's a lot. I think But
Tyrod Taylor's going back to the, you know, the team that pretty much said, screw you.
This is a number that Vegas is begging you to take the Browns.
It's a big so number, big of a spread. And I don't know. I can't trust the Browns. Browns are winning this game, but I'm taking 12.5 points.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. That's a big Vegas is begging you to take the Browns. I'm taking Houston plus 12.5. The Browns are winning, but I'll take Houston with the points. Yeah. We got Rams and Colts. Yeah. Colts are plus 4 at home. I'm with you. I'm taking the Rams. I think they win. They win comfortably. Yes, they have to travel, but that's a good team, man. And Carson Wentz coming off that surgery. Aaron Donald's gonna try to kill him.
Smoke. Yeah.
You know,
I'm with you. Rams all the way until Stafford proves me wrong.
Yeah.
And that defense, you know, shows some like holes. I don't know. The Rams are pretty, they're going to be the team to beat over there.
Yeah.
Them in Seattle are going to be, it's going to be fun to watch.
Buffalo at Miami. Buffalo's getting 3.5 on the
Miami
road.
Miami off of a win. In New England, wow. Buffalo off of a loss.
Vegas has no faith in Miami.
Yeah, I'm taking plus 3.5 with in Miami. As
you know what that number is telling me? Tua. That number's Tua right there.
Yeah, I'm taking Miami. I'm taking the points. New England at the Jets. Jets are dogs by 5.5.
It's a big number, man. I'm taking the Jets plus 5.5.
I have to go with you. I have to go with the Jets because I didn't see anything on the Patriots. Yeah, Damian Harris balled out. But and Mekhi Becton's going to hurt. It's going to hurt. But we are still going rookie QB versus rookie QB.
There, and, yeah,
you know,
and,
this isn't Brady versus Zach Wilson.
No,
like that's, you know, I granted that spread would be a lot different, but I think there's too much credit being placed into the Patriots core right here.
And I think there's too much into that, you know, the Patriot defense against a rookie quarterback. Yeah, I think Zach's going to be fine next week. I think he'll
be fine. And I think the New York crowd behind him for the first time, you know, that's something not to be taken lightly.
No.
You know, I mean, you know how passionate the Jets fans are. So, yeah. I mean, you self-proclaimed Zachariah the Messiah.
The Messiah. By that's what he is. Walks on water.
Niners at the Eagles. Niners are favored by 3.5. Niners lost Raheem Mostert for the year. Elijah Mitchell on the waiver wires, everybody, for all you fantasy players out there. So put your waivers in. We don't have enough time for our fantasy minute. So that's it. That's all you're getting from me. And you know what? Hurts played well. Devonta Smith balled out. Sanders was playing good. Goddard and, you know, there's a lot of Rager. And then the Niners, Debo had that one miscue at the end of the game. But they did let the Lions come back from 38 to 10. And they ended up winning like 41 to 31 or something. 33, something like that. So I don't know. I'm not 100% sold on the Niners defense. So I'm taking the 3.5 points the Eagles have given me at home.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Plus they're traveling. Again, with the travel thing. And then Jimmy Garoppolo's going to be the quarterback. So I'm with you on that. I think the plus 3.5. I'm taking the Eagles plus 3.5 there. I'm with you on that.
All right. Rapid fire. Okay.
Rapid fire. Here we go. The Saints and the Panthers.
Saints favored by 3.5 at the Panthers. I will take the Saints. I will take the Saints and Jameis Winston until he proves me otherwise.
Yeah, Sam Darnold didn't play all that great. He had one big throw. Other than that, it was dump off to McCaffrey. I like the Saints minus 3.5.
Broncos at Jaguars. Broncos favored by 6. I'm not sold on the Jaguars at all, so I'm taking the Broncos going out on the road into Jacksonville. I'm favored by 6. I think
I'm with you on that. Broncos are going to be 2-0. Jacksonville's got a lot of issues. I think Trevor Lawrence throws another 2 or 3 picks, and they go 0-2.
Vikings at the Cardinals. Cardinals are favored by 3.5 at home. Kyler Murray was on fire. D-Hop was on fire.
Mm-hmm.
Kirk Cousins played a good game against the Bengals, but Chandler Jones is not the Bengals. Okay, so Arizona Cardinals are going to get in on Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins will make mistakes. He will keep Dalvin Cook, you know, pedestrian-like numbers. Arizona is going to cover a 3.5-point spread at home.
I think Chandler Jones is going to kill Kirk Cousins next week. He might have.
He very well might.
He might. He's going to have another 5 sacks. That's just. He's on that level right now.
You're taking Cardinals.
I think this number should be higher than 3.5. I don't know what Vegas is seeing.
To us, they're going to raise it.
But I'll take the Cardinals minus 3.5.
All right. The Atlanta Falcons at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Tom Brady doing a little bit of trolling, you know, putting out a video at 3:28 p.m. like an ass.
I mean, he's
funny, man. He's like, you know, he's good. He comes up with some good stuff. Obviously, he's got his own PR guys behind him and whatever. But 11.5 points. It's a lot of points, but the Falcons just got annihilated by the Eagles. There's no doubt that the Buccaneers can do the same inside of Tampa Bay.
So,
yeah. I'm taking Tampa Bay, even if it is 11.5 points.
I think this number's too high. I'm going to go with Atlanta plus 11.5. They're not going to –
I mean, it's divisional, but
yeah.
I don't know. I think Tom Brady has their number.
Okay.
So at this point.
America's game of the week.
Here you go. Dallas at the Chargers, Lewis. You've been waiting for this. And I'm going to have to disagree with Lewis over there.
Oh, what'd he say? What was his prediction?
He likes the Cowboys at the plus 2.5. But I hit Rashawn Slater. The dude is a beast. He was just – picking people off one by one on the offensive line.
Yeah.
Nobody was getting to him. And mind you, the Washington football team has a hell of a pass rush.
Right.
All right. And Herbert wasn't perfect. No way, no how was he perfect last week, but he was in Washington. They typically do not play well in Washington to begin with and traveling east, but they're back home in LA. I think LA right now has some kind of like juju going on around it because the Super Bowl's going there and Stafford just lit it up. I think the Chargers and Keenan Allen and Herbert are going to go bonkers on the Dallas Cowboys defense. And I think the Cowboys are going to put up massive points too. So I would take the over in this game, but the Chargers are going to win by at least a field goal.
You know what? I'm going to take the Cowboys. I just think that Dak is going to be the comeback player of the year after what I saw last week.
But you know what? He could do that and still lose every game.
No, I know that.
I mean, it's just the way it is. Like,
I just think
put up numbers.
I know that. But I just think that this team, I don't think they're going 0-2. I really don't. I think they're gonna find a way to win this game. I think Dak has a big performance. Amari Cooper. I think they start using Ezekiel Elliott a little more. So I'm gonna go to the Cowboys in the upset.
Plus, Lewis isn't a fan of mine, but you could comment what you thought of Rick's. So all right. Tennessee at the Seahawks. Tennessee looked abysmal. They could not get out of their own way. Julio Jones is making personal foul penalties at 3rd-and-1 and pushing them back to 3rd-and-16s. It was a disgrace.
It was a bad day for the Titans.
Who did they play? Titans played who?
Arizona.
Arizona, yeah. Yeah, they just got annihilated. And they were home. Yeah, they were telling their home. Yeah, Tennessee just and now they have to travel to Seattle, and Seattle's get only 5.5-point favorites. I think that's sweet spot right there, and begging me to pick Seattle, and I'm gonna pick Seattle.
I'm with you on that. I don't see any way Seattle loses this game. Tennessee was just embarrassed last week. They got issues on that offensive line already. Mike Vrabel calling out Julio Jones for doing something. It's not looking good so far. I'm going to Seahawks, and they start off 2-0.
All right. Real quick. Okay. Kansas City Chiefs at Baltimore Ravens, -3.5. I think it's going to be close. Kansas City wins. Baltimore Ravens cover the 3.5 because they're home.
They got to go from Vegas back to Baltimore, then fly to the middle of the country off an emotional game. I like Kansas City comfortably. They go 2-0.
Well, I agree that the Kansas City wins. And then Detroit is getting 11.5 points against the 38-3 Packers.
What did they
lost Packers?
Did Vegas not see what happened last week?
I think that you need to take the +440 money line. But no, Detroit Lions, because Goff was balling out. I mean, granted, they had a little backup defenses in and whatever, but I think, and Jamal Williams is coming back to Green Bay. I think he's going to ball out a little bit too.
Yeah.
That's a high, high number. And I think Vegas is high because of it. Yeah. Detroit Lions +11.5.
I'm with you. I don't see the Packers covering this after last week's performance. Don't be surprised if you see an upset here either, man. Do not be surprised.
Is it going to be an upset after? I mean,
you're 100% right on that. But yeah. Don't be surprised if next Tuesday we're here and going like, what just happened? Like, you know, I mean,
I can't wait to hear Peyton and Eli talking about Rodgers and Goff.
That's going to be fun to watch
Monday night.
That's going to be fun to watch. That's where you get your
price of admission.
Yes.
Especially because I pay $0 to go watch it. So
yeah, but that's where you get your wings, and that's where you watch and you sit there and you just watch the game.
Well, apparently the dish of choice is 11:30 PM. Chicken Parm Heroes, that's Peyton's dish of choice, according to Eli.
Yeah, he said something like, he's like, you're on a strict diet and you get this craving for like chicken parm. I'm like, what the fuck? What was that all about? I didn't get that, but
I don't know. It was just brotherly banters and stuff left and right. But that covers it all. I thought it was a great episode.
Mm-hmm.
Next week, we will have our first guest of season 3.
Yeah.
We have Christopher Adams from Sharp Rank joining us, a brand new app. We look forward to talking to you about it and talking to him about it so you can learn more. Until then, have a great week, everybody, and enjoy week two of NFL football.
Peace.
7 hours.
Seven hours
of commercial free. All right. Have a great week, everybody.
Peace.